Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. I want to preach for a few moments on the subject, the power of a seed. Not the seed, the power of a seed, a singular seed. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I don't need everything. I just need a seed. Go ahead and take a seat in God's presence. How many green thumbs do we have in the room today? How many of you, if we went to your house, your garden or your lawn would betray what you just said? I don't have a green thumb. I depend on God to bring the rains down to make all of the pastures and all of those things grow. The Fender Four are in the process of selling the house we're living in and moving out to the country. And so it's been brought up, are we going to have a garden? Are we going to have a, and I said, oh, we can have one. We can plant one. We can look at it. But if that's where we're depending to get our sustenance from, that ain't going to happen. Remember a few weeks ago, Whataburger, Whataburger, Whataburger. We depend on Whataburger, not on, because if we're depending on my thumbs to be green to eat, we all going to starve. Because it's not enough to sow the seed. You've got to work the soil. You got to make sure that the weeds that grow up that would try to choke it out, you got to make sure that it's fertilized. And one thing about fertilizer, you can use anything that was meant to take you out. The nasty stuff of life can be the greatest fertilizer for the seed that you have. Yeah. And so there's a process that God wants to take us through, take us to something. That process starts with one seed, one kernel of corn. Something insignificant. I know it looks giant when it's 16 feet tall and 38 feet wide, but something so insignificant is where it begins. That should bless somebody in this room today, because you might not have everything you need, but you have enough. You have enough to get started. You have enough to plant. You have enough to take care of. The devil can't take everything that you have, Job. He can take just enough for you to still be able to say, God is still a good God all the time. He's still from whom which comes my help. And so it starts with one kernel, one seed of corn, and it begins to grow when we take care of it. And out of one of these tiny little seeds comes an ear of corn. Now, an ear of corn, one seed, I've done a lot of extensive research on this in the last few weeks. One seed of corn will produce a stalk that will produce somewhere between 1 and 3 ears of corn. Now, on one ear of corn, there is an average of 700 to 800 kernels. So that means one seed, come on now for all you math people out there. One seed will produce an average of 2 ears, which will produce in the first year 1,400 more seeds. Oh, see, I lost some of you already. We're talking about the first year. We're not talking about 2028. We're not talking about 2023. We're talking about in the next 365 days, God said, I can make you 1,400 more times productive. That's the first. If you were to take 1,400 seeds and not do anything else with them but plant them, the 1,400 seeds will produce 2,800 ears of corn in the second year. The 2,800 ears of corn will produce 1,960,000 seeds in the second year. So we've gone from 1 to 1,960,000 times the blessing, all because we valued the seed, we let the seed go, we planted the seed, all in the second year. Somebody say year two. Let's go third year, because third year is about all I can count. Third year. 1,960,000 seeds of corn will produce an average of 3,920,000 ears of corn, which will produce 2,744,000,000 seeds. I've come to encourage you, if I can just get you to let go of what you have, if I can just let you get you to let go of the one seed you have, all I need is 1 year, baby, and I can move you to the place of abundance. I can move you to the place of overflow where it's no longer a chance of do I sow or do I hold back. It's God, I'm going to let everything I know go. I'm going to let everything I have go, because every time I let something go, there is an abundance back. Somebody say yes. There's two promises that we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. Number one, the first promise is a seed sown must reproduce. The seed does not reproduce on the shelf. The seed does not reproduce in your pocket. The seed does not produce at the movie theater. The seed does not reproduce down at Ross or Saks Fifth Avenue. The seed reproduces when it is sown. So it's not just the matter of letting it go, but where are you letting it go to? Is it falling by the wayside? Is it being choked out by the thorns? Has it fallen on rocky ground? Or are you saying, God, if I relinquish what you have given me, you better bet your bottom dollar that I'm going to make sure it gets in the ground, the right ground, gets covered up. So this time next year, I have 1,400 seeds. Number two, the number two promise in Genesis 1, verse 11 and 12, a seed sown must produce after its kind. If you want corn, you can't plant okra. I love okra as long as it's deep fried. I love it. That's just a sidebar. Zeke, amen me. I felt a connection. But a lot of us sow seeds every day. We sow seeds by our word. We sow seeds by our actions. And then we're surprised when what we get back is not the harvest that we wanted. No, you need to understand this. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. That's why the Bible says anybody who wants friends must show themselves friendly. What you put out there, what you sow into the earth, that is what you are going to get back. Don't be surprised by the fruit you have in your hand when you planted the seed that you planted 9 months ago. Don't expect a pear when you plant an apple. Don't expect forgiveness when all you've sown is bitterness. Don't expect reconciliation when all you sow is discord. Don't expect somebody to praise you when you've sown gossip. Don't expect there to be love in your life when you've sown bigotry. Man, God just dropped this word in my life. Just about this. We cannot walk in a relationship with a friend or a marital relationship or a family relationship. We cannot produce love there if we walk in hate anywhere else. Because when we walk in hate in other places, those are seeds we've sown. And the Bible says we will reap where we have not sown. So even though I'm sowing love to my wife, if I'm sowing hate to my brother, guess what? There might be hatred show up at my house because that's a seed I've sown. You with me? Turn to your neighbor and tell them, are you with them? Are you with them? Galatians 6, 7, 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. That's not somebody making fun of the Holy Ghost. That's not somebody making fun of the way you dance. That's not somebody making fun of the way I preach. He said, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that's what he reaps. For someone to reap something that they did not sow. He said, you'll reap places you haven't sown. But you have to sow something somewhere before the revelation and the supernatural part of reaping and harvest comes back to you. And this is what Paul would write to the church at Galatia. He said, do not be deceived. God is not going to be a mockery of what he said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. The promise that he instilled, the promise that he started is the same thing. That if you want good things in your life, you're going to have to sow something good. If you want friends, you've got to show yourself friendly. If you want love, you've got to sow love. If you want money, you've got to sow money. If you want peace, you got to be a peacemaker. If You want forgiveness? Forgive somebody. God has not mocked whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Verse 8 says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What you sow is what you reap. If you don't like your harvest, check your seed. If you don't like your harvest, check your seed. If you don't like the friends you have, check your seed. If you look in your bank account, you don't like those numbers, check your seed. If you don't like the job, check the seed. If you don't like who you're married to, come on now, let's get real, check your seed. You've got to understand that whatever you have now is because of a seed that was sown. And it might not have been last week or yesterday. It could have been 10 years ago. But I'm here to tell you, I am always one seed and 1 year, 365 days from undoing bad seeds that I've sown by making a statement of faith and saying, God, I know what I've done wasn't right. I know I've sowed some tares. I know I've reaped the world. Win, but as of July 15, 2018, you are looking at the most faithful farmer you got. You don't have to give me everything, because if you give me a seed, I will work that seed until it gives me everything that I need. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Somebody shout yes. Yes. We love to quote that, do we not? God, he's going to give it back to me, pressed down, shaken together. Oh, he's going to run me over. And that's where we stop. But the verse goes on. The same verse goes on to say, with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured back unto you. I just thought about this in its most simplistic of terms. If God requires 10% of my life, of my money. Brandon, bring the tithe into the storehouse. 10%'s a lot, isn't it, Chris? It's a lot of money. But then when I think about this, if I'm using the 10% formula, I'm using it as a man with limited resources. But if God uses the same 10%, oh, you missed it. I'm talking about the God that created the mountains, the God that created the hills that have the gold and all of the cows. If he created everything that we see, if you take 10% of that, God, I don't even have to have the 10%. Give me 0.1% and I will be happy, because I serve a big God. And God said, whatever you sow, however you sow it out, is the same way I'm going to sow it back in to your life. Turn to your neighbor and tell him his 10% is bigger than mine. Everything you have in your life is a direct result of seed sown, both good or bad. What you say is what you see. What you sow is what you will see. Your current reality and an environment, good or bad, is a direct result of something you said. I knew I wouldn't get a lot of good preaching or a lot of good amen in right there. Your current reality, your current environment, good or bad, is a direct result of something you said. I shared with the young people last night, when you see me go zero dark 30 on social media, and it's been a 2 or 3 days since I've said something, I'm either going through something or I can't trust myself to type something that's not going to be mean, not going to be bad, not going to be mean-spirited, not going to tear somebody down. Why? Because I know that what I say creates worlds. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are made up of things which do not appear. The world that we live in, the world, not our world, the world was framed by God's word through faith. So when God spoke, listen to this, God spoke, and the reason God's word brought something to life is because God is both the word and faith together. anything he has ever said has come to pass. But when he created us with a mouth. Because now when we know the word of God, we've got to speak the word of God. It's not enough just to say it. We've got to declare it. Meaning we've got something behind the faith, the word that we declare. It's not just the magnet on the refrigerator. It's not just something that we slap on the bumper sticker on the back of our car. But when we step out, we say, God, the word that you have placed in me, once it goes through faith, it will create a world. If the word framed the world, it can for sure frame your world. If it framed the world, it can frame your world. If it created out of nothing, it can create out of nothing. Hebrews 4:2, just taking this journey for just a moment. For unto us was the gospel preached as well unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. That's why you can still have broke people at church. That's why you can still have sick people at church. That's why you can still have husband and wife fighting. I mean, she's pinched him 8 times since this sermon started. That's why we can have all of the mess and still be at church, because the word of God preached by itself does nothing. But when a person of faith, my God, reaches out and says, that word is for me. The word that created the world, I'm going to lasso that thing and bring it to my reality. I'm going to wrap it in faith. I'm going to release it out of my mouth, and my world will now be framed by his word. The word of God preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The word is what God does. Faith is what we do with that word. That's why Sunday morning preaching is good, but it cannot be enough. Sunday mornings are a supplement. Sunday mornings are something extra. Sunday mornings are the slice of cheesecake after you've been eating on steak and the word of God all week long. Listen, this praise and worship is the cherry on top of the sundae. This is not the begin all. This is not the end all. This is just a means as a part of our life that I worship by myself on Monday. I come in here Wednesday and worship with the team. Sunday, worship with the team. But if it's just me and the best voice that I have, and if I can't sing, I'll make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Why? Because it is his word coming out of my mouth that will frame my world. So what's the word? Luke 8, verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, the seed is the word of God. The seed. 50 pounds of seed. I don't need the whole bag. I just need one. If you need the whole bag, that's an indictment on your faith. I don't need the whole bag. I just need one seed. Chris, if you'll open that for me. You ever open a bag? If not, I got a pocket knife on me to help you out. The seed is the word of God. The word is what God does. Faith is what we do with that word. So if the seed is the word of God, then God's word, when it comes into our life, has to intersect with faith before it's going to produce an ear of corn, and before that ear of corn can turn into a big harvest. A seed. Mr. Cameraman. A seed. There you go. A seed. One seed. This is all I need. You said, what are you going to do with that seed? That's what we're going to preach about for the next 15 minutes. What you do with this seed? Romans 12:3. Anybody know what that verse says? Every man is given a measure of faith. My faith doesn't have to be big, because his word is big. My faith can be the size of a seed, and it can move mountains, because, oh my God, the word is what created the mountain. So my faith doesn't have to be as big as a mountain, because the very same word that moved the mountain is what I'm wrapping my faith around. And once my faith gets with the word of God, I can do anything, I can be anything, I can move every mountain. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. Every man, here we go. Born with a measure. Sorry, custodians. Every measure, every man is born with a measure. For all my bakers out there, is this a cup or half a cup? That's a cup. Every man is born with a cup of faith. Here we go, here we go. When you look at that word measure, the Greek word for measure is merton. It means a limited portion. Every man is born with a limited portion. It is your choice, and it is my choice if we try to live off the limited portion. When God said, the first thing I gave you was never meant for you to live on. It was meant for you to sow. It was meant for you to work. It was meant for you to plant. It was meant for you to produce something else. You were never supposed to eat it. You were never supposed to live on it. Every man is born with a measure of faith. The measure of faith might not be all God has, but it's all we need to get started. Look in your life for the next 20 seconds and take inventory. What do you have in your life that you could give to God? Well, I'm waiting until I'm out of debt, and then I'm really going to bless the kingdom of God. Let's not wait till then. That is a fairy tale without God. You must have God in the process, and you must take His word and wrap it with your faith. That measure of faith is not everything that God has, but it's everything that you need. Faith, I love this. I've never heard anyone say this. God dropped this in my spirit. Faith is the great equalizer. Faith does not discriminate. Faith does not look at age. Faith does not look at gender. Faith does not look at ethnicity and race. Faith does not look at denomination. Faith does not look how many times you've come to church. Faith does not, if I can remind you, the two greatest forms of faith were people that did not follow Jesus. They heard about Jesus and their faith swelled. And a Roman centurion said, I don't need you to show up. I just need you to send your word. Why? Because I'm just a Roman. And guess what? Even the Romans were born with a measure of faith. I don't need you to show up and preach a sermon. I need you to send your word. And I'll take the little dab of faith I was born in. I'll take the measure. I'll take the limited portion. And when I put the limited portion with the word of God, my servant's going to get up. I don't care where you come from, that's good preaching. Faith is simply what you do with the seed that God has placed in your hand. So there's three types of people. Uno, dos, tres. We've got the first man over here that has the same portion as tres and dos. I mean, it would be very similar if you counted those kernels out. I'd like to take that portion from you. And when I take that portion from you, I'm going to give you so much more. But I need you to relinquish what you have so I can give you what I want you to have. Now, the problem with these three men is they don't see the sack of corn. Because they're too busy looking at what they have. But it's really not what they have that they're looking at. It's what they don't have that they're looking at. They're looking at this saying, this is all I have to pay my bills. This is all I have to feed my family. This is all. And so when God comes by and says, give me the measure of faith that I gave you to begin with. Come on, give it to me.
No.
Why not?
You know what? I think I'm going to save it.
That's the first guy, the one who saves his seed. It's never about God doing something great. It's always about the sky is falling. What if I get down the road and I don't have enough corn? What if I get down the road and I have a flat tire? What if Dave Ramsey hasn't taught me everything I know and I don't have a rainy day fund? And so we hold back. We save the seed. There is a parable in Matthew chapter 25 that Jesus shares. I believe it's verse 12 or 14. And there's three men. One man gets five talents. One man gets two. One gets one. And the landowner goes away for a period of time. Now the man with five works that five and gets five more. Does he not? The man that has two works that two, gets two more, does he not? What does the one do? He saves it. He goes and hides it. I preach this. I've never heard anyone else preach this. I preached it one time. The man with the most faith was not the 5-on-5 guy, the 2-to-2 guy. The man with the most faith was the one that the kingdom or the landowner gave one talent to. Because he said, you got so much faith, I don't got to give you as much as the guy with five. You got so much faith, I don't have to give you two. All I have to do is drop one seed in your lap because there's so much faith that you've got, you can turn that one into 1,000 talents. But he continued to look at your seed. Come on, come on, give me the seed. It's gonna be such a blessing. You and your wife are gonna be blessed. Your bank account's gonna be blessed. Your ministry's gonna be blessed. Your job's gonna be blessed. Your spirit's gonna be blessed. All I need you to do is relinquish. Come on, can I have it?
No. You know I might need it for, I don't know, rainy day.
Rainy days. Anyone that has seed in the ground wants rainy days. I want the heavens to open once I have seed in the ground. And we've got way too many believers that have enough faith for Jesus to save them, but they don't have enough belief that he can heal them, deliver them, pay their bills, find them a mate. Come on now. Relinquish. Let it go. So we've got the seed saver. Number two is the seed eater. It just worked out that he's the portliest gentleman sitting down. Just worked out that way. I need that portion. I'm going to do something great with it. I'm going to bless your family. If you give me that, you're going to have so much at the end of this process. Now, don't pull away. I just, can I have that?
No.
Why not?
You want to know why?
I want to know why.
I'm hungry.
Seed saver. Seed eater. What happens when God gives you one seed? And we just eat it. It's like corn nuts. Tell you what, and this is where most of us are, and this is where Esau was, in this bag. I have a bowl of Rudy's cream style corn. Now, if you just give me that seed, I'm going to bring it back multiplied. But if you trade that seed for food, once it's gone, it's gone. How hungry are you?
Hungry.
Hungry enough that you do realize that once you eat this, it's gone. There is no late night snacks. There's no trading something because you're about to eat this. Are you sure you want to make that trade?
Let me pray about it.
I'll give you 10 seconds.
All right, I want it.
That's how most of us pray about things. So you prayed about the bad tray, but you didn't even pray over your food. Come on, man. Is it good?
Yes, sir.
I hope so. I want you to enjoy every last kernel of that corn. If you don't start eating that faster, I'm going to help you. It's all laughs. It's all fun until it's gone. Because immediately, I've been there. I eat the portion that I was supposed to sow. God knows what's on the other side of me sowing the seed. And he's disappointed when I scarf it down because he knows that there is going to be immediate remorse that I wish I had my portion back. But instead, we add some butter to it, some sugar to it, instead of letting it go, we eat it. There's a woman, a widow woman, that the prophet comes to and says, what do you have? She said, I've got enough meal and enough oil to make me a cake, and I'm going to eat it, and I'm going to die. That was plan A. The man of God said, I got a better plan. Make it for me. Give it to me. And your meal and your oil will never run out. When you sow the seed, I'm going to bring you back 1,400. Then you can eat a couple hundred. You can save a couple hundred. And you can sow 1,000. And the next year, you're going to have millions. I'm talking to somebody today. It's called sacrifice. Sacrifice in July. And I promise you, God's going to bless you in January. Make a statement of faith. And this is not an offering sermon. This is a law of sowing and reaping. Whatever you need in your life, I want you to find some way to sow into that. I want you to find some way to let something go. I want you to find some way. Don't sacrifice it so you feel good in July and August. Say, I'm going to make a decision today that's going to give me a better tomorrow. I'm going to sow something today that I'm going to reap in January. And I promise you, when you relinquish that seed and you don't sit on it and save it and you don't eat it and you don't trade it off for something, when you sow that seed, you're going to be so glad you did down the road. You done?
Yes, sir.
How you feel?
Hungry.
Still hungry. That's all there was, man. Always going to be hungry. Always going to be hungry. Feed a man a fish, feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime. Give a man a bowl of corn, feed him for a day. Teach a man to plant seed, feed him and generations to come. Feed him, his family, his generations to come. And here we are at man number three. Chris, if you'll give me that portion, I'm going to make sure that you have everything that you ever need in life. I'm going to make sure that anytime tragedy shows up, you've got a harvest that's going to get you through. Anytime that famine shows up, you're going to have a harvest to get you through. Anytime people walk out on you, God's going to bring somebody else into your life. All you have to do is relinquish your portion.
I don't know. You know, I've been able to pay bills for my family and been able to do some things.
See, what Chris says here is what we all say. It is a contrite spirit. He's not mad. He's not angry with God that God would ask him of the last thing that he has. But it's a reality and a discussion, whether we have it out loud, we have it within ourselves. God, you have everything. Do you really want me to give you the money for my light bill? God, you have everything in the world. Do you really want to take the one thing that's going to get me through the next week or two of my life? And God's saying, I don't want it for me. I want it for you. Because the moment that you let it go, it's no longer a seed. It turns supernatural. It becomes a harvest. It becomes something great. It becomes something that you did not expect in that fashion and that form. So he thinks about it, has discussions about it, prays about it. I know it's tough, but give me the portion.
You know what? I was a little bit inconfident about it, but because I know you, because I know what you're capable of, and I know what you're able to do with it, you have more ability to do it than what I can do.
That's the attitude. That's the spirit. Unrehearsed answer. That's his heart, because he knows who he's dealing with. But I love God. I love God because God is not going to take his bowl. God's going to take a seed. God never leaves me with nothing. God never leaves me with nothing. He leaves me with everything but the seed. Are you a seed saver? Saving it for a tough time. Are you a seed eater? Letting your flesh get the best of you and gorging on something that is fleeting, something that is not going to make you feel better in the long run. It's going to fill your belly for 6 or 8 hours, and you're going to go right through the process and be hungry again, but this time you're hungry and you have no seed to sow. Or are you going to be the seed sower, saying, God, there's power within that seed? You know why we don't like to let go of the seed? I'm closing with this. The reason we don't like to go to sow the seed is we don't like for the seed to get out of our eyesight. Until the seed is no longer seen, it's not trust. It's not faith. It's not obedience. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 12, I think it's verse 24. The seed of wheat has to fall and die. The seed has to die before the harvest can come. You know the reason God takes the seed from your life and covers it? So you don't have to watch it die. That's powerful to me. That God said, I'm going to shield you, Brandon, from the ugliness of bringing life out of the dirt, out of the miry clay, out of all that is not pretty. I'm going to hide you from that. And all you have to do once you relinquish the seed is have faith and pray over it and worship God and say, God, I'm glad I did it. God, I'm glad I let go of the seed, because I understand there is a power when I drop that seed in the ground. It dies. The casing is broke off of it. And I know that in just a few days, I'm going to go out there, and where there was bare land, I'm going to see one little tender green shoot coming up, and I'm going to get excited at the prospect, because now I see that I made the right decision. Can I talk to somebody today and tell you that you're going to look a month from now and be glad that on July 15th you let that thing go, you placed that thing in God's hands? Why? Because I'm not talking about a little tender shoot coming up. I'm not talking about 5 or 6 kernels. I'm not talking about a bowl. I'm talking about when you've got enough faith to not save it, to not eat it, but to sow it, you're going to end up with what we call an epic harvest. That's when the billions, that's when the millions of corn seeds all show back up at one time. I don't know who you are and where you are. Chris might not even know the people that are bringing his seed and harvest back to him, but let me tell you this, he was expecting something great when he let go. I thought somebody would have got excited already. Oh yeah, that's what we call the abundance. That's what we call the overflow. All because he got rid of one seed and started slinging seed. God showed up in his life. All you've got to do is let it go. All you've got to do is turn it loose. God doesn't want your everything. God wants a seed. Man, that when it's you getting blessed, you don't care how long it keeps coming. The illustration keeps going. When it's you being blessed, you don't care how many bags it is. When it's you being blessed, you don't care how long the rain lasts. When you got seed in the ground, you don't care how long the storm goes. Why? Because I got seed in the ground, and what God has taken away from me has produced an epic harvest. Pastor Becky, come. One seed. One seed. One seed. I was at Walmart yesterday, and I wasn't even there for this. I was there for something else, and God hit me at Walmart. He said, Brandon, when I bring the seed back, every seed produces after its kind. Now listen, kind and type are totally different. So I was walking through there. Sometimes it looks like this. 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 Cornmeal. You can fry you something up. Sometimes it looks like this. Corn oil, you can fry something. Sometimes it looks like cornbread. I don't care what you need. It's all connected to your seed. And God's going to blow your mind when you sow one kernel of corn and God brings you back the corn bread, the corn oil, the corn meal, the corn chips, the corn tortillas, the popcorn. One seed. The power of a seed. In closing, this. I can't even see your feet. I wish before they get up, I need somebody to come take a picture. Because I've never seen two guys look so sad than the Savior. Come on now. I've been there. People of God, I've been there. Where God said, sow it. And I said, I don't know. And then I watched somebody be blessed. Look, he got like maybe 10 kernels overflowed over here. And Zeke, I think, had a few more. I think he ate some more. But here Chris is just sitting in the abundance, the overflow of God, the power of a seed. I want to open this altar right now for those of you that have a need in any area of your life. There is a lack that you need Jesus to fill in your life. If that is you, I don't want you to wait. Don't procrastinate.